I believe this was truly the golden age of radio. We never connected to any other medium in quite the same way. The microphone was like a stethoscope, a Geiger counter, a crystal ball. It could take you places that you could never imagine. This is John Lovering, and you're listening to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show. I want you to feel at the end of this program that you have been taken for an audio ride. So buckle up and let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Three more doses, and then the end. Either I must remain forever hidden from the sight of men, or go out and meet my punishment on the gallows.
Oh, it's impossible. It can't be true.
Oh, I used to say that too, but now I know there's no escape. At any hour of the night or day, I feel the horrible shuddering that warns me of the coming of Hyde. If I fall asleep, I always wake as Hyde. Oh. He creeps on me if I leave myself unguarded for a moment. He plays the most fiendish tricks on me. I have no peace, no soul of my own. He possesses me like a demon, which only the power of the drug can drive out. And soon, I won't have that.
But there must be more. Where did you get it before?
I got it from a wholesale chemist several years ago.
And have you asked them for more?
I've had every chemist in England searching for it. It was a rare kind of mineral salt that came from the Ural Mountains.
Can't they get any more?
They can. They can supply me with unlimited quantities, but it's useless. It doesn't have the least effect.
But why? Isn't it the same?
Well, they swear it is. I can only conclude that the first lot I had was imperfect. In some way that no one knows anything about, there was another element mixed with the essential salts. What it was, I haven't the slightest idea. But it was that mysterious, unknown chemical that gave me the power to split myself in two, and without which I am lost.
You mustn't give up. We'll find some more.
But when? The amount I've left will last me at most another 2 days. And that's only if I remain awake the whole time and never relax my vigilance for an instant.
Oh, Henry, my dear, my dear.
When the end comes, Helen, the thought of your bravery and loyalty will be the last thoughts to sustain me. Nothing could have been more fine, nor nobler than you. But I'm afraid for you. You must go. I can't tell you of the baseness of the creature I become when Hyde possesses me. There are thoughts of you, but... oh, don't let us speak of that. One thing is certain. You must go.
You mean now?
Yes, now. Now, at once. At any moment, I may cease to be the man you know.
I can't leave you alone like this.
Oh, don't ignore what I say. You must go. I insist on it. Pack your things. I've already told my coachman to have the carriage waiting for you. He'll take you to your mother's house. Tomorrow, he'll call again and take you to the train. I'll make all the arrangements for you to stay at my house in Norfolk. It's yours. I've made out the deeds. I want you to live there as long as you like.
But I...
don't say anything. There's no time for explanations. I've done what I could in the little time that's left. It comforted me a little to feel that I could provide for you and make you free from want for the rest of your life.
And now you want me to go?
You must.
This is farewell.
It has to be. Goodbye, my love. Think of me. And pray for me.
Day and night. And if you send for me, no matter when or where...
never. I forbid you to come. You must never come near me. It would be Hyde who sent the message. After tomorrow, there shall be no more of Henry Jekyll, this side of eternity.
Thank you. you. I can see him.
I'll see who?
A skylark. See, he's right above us. Just like a tiny speck in the blue.
Oh, darling, if Jenny Lind herself were floating around singing arias, I'm far too lazy to get excited.
If you don't get up and hurry, we'll be late for dinner. Do you know how touchy old Mrs. Harris is over her cooking? She's promised a steak and kidney pudding, too.
It's only 12 o'clock.
Oh, but we've got about 4 miles to walk back to the village. Oh, and it's such lovely country. I don't want to have to hurry.
All right. Oh, dear. Pull me up.
Pull you up?
Certainly. You may be on your honeymoon, Mrs. Lanyon, but it's time you started on your wifely duties. Come on, pull.
Oh, you great lazy brute.
Oh, look.
There now. See what you've done? Oh, I've fallen backwards into a gorse bush. Oh, help me out.
All in good time. You look quite charming sitting there.
Oh, have you ever sat in a gorse bush?
I've got vivid recollections of a patch of Scotch thistles. Oh, come on, up you get. Come on.
Dr. Lanyon.
Hello. Who's that calling down there?
I don't know. How funny he looks dressed up in that long frock coat.
Looks like somebody's butler on a day off. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. It couldn't be.
Couldn't be what?
I had a funny idea that he was Henry Jekyll's butler, Poole. But that's impossible. What'd he be doing up here at the English Lakes?
Perhaps he's on a honeymoon, too.
Poole? Oh, he's a respectable father of 5 bouncing young Britons.
Well, he seems to be very excited over something, whoever he is. He's waving something in his hand and climbing the hill for all he's worth.
Well, let's go down and meet him. Better I get there first. Come on.
Oh, no, wait. I believe you're right. It is Poole.
Oh, don't be silly.
It is. I caught a glimpse of his face and he looked up a moment ago. There. Don't you see?
Great Scott. So it is. What on earth is he doing up here?
Perhaps something's happened down in London.
But why should he come all the way up here to tell us about it? Let's go quickly. I don't like the look of it. There must be something very much the matter to drag Poole out of his native haunts. Give him your hand. We'll take the shortcut down the slope.
Oh, Dr. Lanyon, sir. Thank heaven I found you.
Oh, what are you doing here?
I've come all the way to tell you. I tried to put it in a letter, but it didn't seem possible.
What didn't? What's the matter?
I don't know, sir, and that's the plain truth. But it's Dr. Jekyll. There is something happened to him. I don't know what it is.
For heaven's sake, man, put it in words. Is he ill? Has he disappeared?
No, sir. He's at home, or he was when I left. But he shut himself up in the inner room of his laboratory, and he won't come out.
What?
I know you'll find it hard to believe, sir. That's why I didn't feel that writing a letter was any use. I had to tell you myself.
Well, sit down and tell me. Nancy, you don't mind if we're a little late for Mrs. Harris's beefsteak pudding?
Oh, of course not. This is far more important.
Oh, indeed, ma'am. You don't know how urgent. Something's happened to the master, though what it is, heaven alone knows.
Now, start at the beginning, Poole, and tell us all you know.
Well, you know the doctor's way, sir. How he likes to shut himself away in that room and work on his experiments. Well, I didn't take no notice for the first few days. And then when he wrote a note telling me to put his food on a tray and leave it outside the door and on no account to stay there or allow anyone to come near the place, I began to get worried and no mistake.
But why should he want his food put on a tray?
I don't know, sir. Unless it was that he didn't want to see or be seen by anyone.
This is fantastic. You're not imagining all this.
I only wish I was. Look, I brought the note to show you. Read it for yourself.
Put my food on a tray outside the door of my laboratory. As soon as you have done this, go away at once and do not return under any pretext whatever for at least an hour. In addition to this, do not allow any other person besides yourself to come near the building. These are my explicit instructions and must not be disobeyed. Henry Jekyll. Oh, good heavens.
You see, sir.
And what's happening while you're away?
Well, I had to take a chance. I felt I couldn't get along without your help, Dr. Lanyon. So I got my wife to take the food across. I know the doctor will be angry, but I can't help that.
Tell me the rest.
Well, sir, it's nearly a week now since he last came out. I can't tell you the awful feeling that's been over us all. We've been creeping round the house as though someone died. 2 of the maids gave notice. I've given orders for lights to be kept burning all night.
But
that's all nonsense. The doctor probably engaged in some very difficult work. He just doesn't want to be disturbed.
Oh, I wish I could think that, Mrs. Lanyon, and that's the truth.
And what do you think has happened?
It's my belief, sir, There's been foul play.
Foul play? What on earth do you mean?
Oh, I daren't name it, sir. But I beg of you that you'll come back to London right away and help me find out.
Of course I'll come back with you. But tell me what you mean. All this sounds like some sort of nightmare.
That's just what it is, sir. The sort of thing that makes you wake up in the night in a cold sweat of fear. I tell you, sir, there's not one of us who'd venture across that courtyard and into the little building after darkness falls. Not if you was to give us £1,000.
But why? Why?
Wait till you've heard. Though I hope for your sake that you never will.
Well, heard what?
The dreadful cries and the moans that come out through the door. All this week, him or it or whatever it is that hides in that room has been crying night and day for some sort of medicine and cannot get it. Every time I go there with the food, I find sheets of people lying waiting for me. Every one of them telling me to go to some chemist to try and find the drug he wants.
Have you got one of those notes?
Yes. Here it is.
And this is written in the doctor's hand. I'd know it anywhere.
That's true, sir.
And what happens when you take it to the chemist?
Oh, they're sick of the sight of me, one and all. They tell me they've sent what he asked for, but he returns it, saying it's not the right sort. Don't you see what's written at the bottom of the note I've given you? For God's sake, find me some of the old.
Yes, it's a strange note, but it was written by the doctor, and that proves he's still alive.
He was when it was written. But what does that tell us? Dr. Lanyon. I've seen him.
Seen him? What do you mean?
It's the belief in my heart that there's been murder done.
Murder?
That can't be possible.
Dr. Lanyon, I pray with all my heart that you are right. But I'm mortally afraid. The creature that I saw that day in the shadows of the laboratory was none other than the man who murdered Mr. Utterson 6 months ago. The dreadful Edward Hyde.
Coming to town, the great King Brothers International three-ring circus. Thrilling acts from all over the world featuring such outstanding performers as Barbara Fairchild, bareback rider extraordinaire, the Flying Jordans on the flying trapeze all the way from Sweden, the Canestrelli troupe from Italy, a herd of elephants, 150 wild and domestic animals, a congress of clowns to delight children of all ages. Don't you dare miss this great show. Here is your announcer who'll tell you where you can see the circus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I tell you, sir, I'm making no mistake. The hideous creature I saw scuttle up the stairs and through the laboratory door was Hyde. I'd know him anywhere. Haven't I had to wait on him when he came to stay in the doctor's house?
I don't doubt you, fool, but what on earth is he doing in Dr. Jekyll's laboratory? The man's been hunted in every corner of the kingdom. There's £2,000 reward offered for his capture. How could Henry Jekyll hide such a creature?
I would never have come up here if the need wasn't desperate. Oh, I've been driven half distracted, sir. What with the worry of Dr. Jekyll and the poor people coming ringing at the door asking
what
for him.
What poor people?
The people from the clinic, sir. They're lost without him, and that's the truth. Oh, it fair wring your heart, it would, to hear the way they plead for him to come and look after their sick.
But what's happened? Isn't Nurse Peters still down there?
Nurse Peters, sir? The poor young lady's been too bad herself to look after anyone.
Nurse Peters? What's been the matter with her?
I don't rightly know, sir. But Dr. Jekyll brought her to the house a week before he went into the laboratory. No one saw her but himself, and the nurse he had to look after her. But from what I heard, it seemed as though she seemed to be partly out of her mind, sir.
What? Why, you must be crazy. Helen Peters out of her mind and Dr. Jekyll murdered? What sort of crazy yarn is this?
Oh, I know, sir. And that's why I came all the way up here to see you. If I'd put it in a letter, you'd never have believed me.
I don't believe you now, that this couldn't have happened. Where's Miss Peters now?
The doctor gave orders that she was to be taken down to his house in Norfolk, sir. I saw her just before she left. Oh, she looked mortal bad, sir. And the saddest look I ever saw on any woman's face. She seemed in a sort of a dream. She just walked down the stairs and out of the door and never said a word.
Oh, stop. If you tell him any more, I believe I'm going mad, too. Has the whole world tumbled to pieces?
Oh, we need you, Dr. Lanyon. Someone's got to come and try and put things right.
I'll come. I'll come right away.
Helen, dear, here's a letter for you. Do you feel well enough to read it?
Yes, Mother, I'll read it.
That's a good girl. You're looking ever so much better today. A few weeks of this lovely country air should make you quite well again.
Do you think so, Mother, dear? I wish I did.
Read your letter, and we'll go for a little stroll out in the garden. You never saw anything like the delphiniums and the roses. And they'll make you better just to see them. Do you know, there's the dearest little pony cart and an old fat cob in the stables. I was talking to the head groom about it this morning. How would you like to go for a drive through the park? The trees are looking lovely. Just the fern, the little tinge of ferns and faint tinge of the autumn. Why, dear, what's the matter? Is the bad news in the letter?
No. You may read it if you like.
What is it? Why, some sort of document. A deed of gift.
Yes, from Henry. He's given me this house and the parklands and all the land. He told me he was doing that before we said goodbye.
Helen, dearest, don't cry. You mustn't upset yourself. This was done to make you happy, not to cause you any pain.
Happy? No, I don't think Henry expected me to be happy.
My darling, I wish I could tell you what... I wish you could tell me what happened between you. Is it so final? If ever I saw a man with mortal grief on his face, it was Henry Jekyll the morning we left to come down here. Oh, I'm sure he loves you.
Oh, please, Mother, please. If only you knew how it tortures me to hear you say that.
Sorry, dear, I won't say it again.
We must regard him as dead. None of us will see him again, ever.
Is he stricken with some dreadful illness, dear?
Yes, an illness so dreadful, so terrible, that my mind can't bear to think of it. And yet I can't help myself. I sit here thinking of him alone, facing that dreadful doom. And I can't do anything. I can't even be with him.
But can't anything be done? Aren't there doctors?
Nothing, and no one can help him. Do you think I would have come away if there'd been any hope?
Oh, then don't let's talk about it any more. It only upsets you, and if nothing can be done for him... Come, we'll go into the garden. Would you like a shawl to put round your shoulders?
Mother, I'd like to go alone. Do mind.
But are you strong enough?
Of course I am. There's nothing the matter with me, physically.
Very well, then. But don't walk too far. I'll come down to you in half an hour.
Yes, do. I'll, I'll be down under that beech tree at the end of the lawn. I think perhaps I'd better wear a coat. It might turn cold.
Yes, do. Now take care of yourself.
I will. Goodbye.
Why do you kiss me like that? I'll be seeing you in half an hour.
Williams, my mother was telling me that you've got a pony cart and cob here that I could drive.
Yes, Miss Peters.
Do you think I could have it right away?
Well, are you going to drive it yourself, miss?
Yes. I'm feeling so much better today that I think I'll go down to the village and do a little shopping. How soon can you have it ready?
Oh, it won't take a minute, miss. The old cob's in the stable now, and I'll have one of the boys harness him right away.
Good, I'll wait. By the way, I can reach the main road by going through that gate over there, can't I?
Oh, yes, miss. But there's a better road if you take the one that goes right past the house.
No, I'll take this one. I don't want to pass the house. And hurry, will you? I don't want to be too late getting back.
Oh, certainly, miss. Oh, harness old Rory into the pony cart, will you?
Porter, I want to go to London. Can you tell me when I can get your train?
Yeah, you're dead lucky, miss. There's one due right now. It'll take as far as Norwich, and then you'll get the express.
Oh.
Oh, there she is, coming up to the crossing now. Want a ticket?
Yes, first class, please.
Any luggage?
No, none.
Here's your ticket, then. 11 and 9, please.
Thank you.
Yes? What do you want?
Is this Dr. Jekyll's place?
Yes, but he's not at home.
Oh, do you know when he'll be back?
No, I haven't any idea. He's been gone for several days now.
Oh, don't you know where he is? Oh, I need him dreadful bad. My little girl that's ill. Oh, if I don't get him soon, I don't know what'll happen.
Well, he isn't here, and it's no use your waiting.
Oh, what am I going to do?
Well, can't you get another doctor?
No one will come to folks as poor as us, but Dr. Jekyll. We haven't any money to pay him with.
Did you go to the clinic?
Yes. There's no one there. It's all shut up. Oh, when is Dr. Lanyon coming, Betty? It's terrible with both of them away.
Oh, he's on his honeymoon. He won't be back for another week.
And even Miss Peters. Oh, it ain't right for them all to go and leave us like this. We've learnt to count on them so much.
Miss Peters?
Nurse. Oh, thank heaven you're back. Margie's that ill, miss. I've been off out of me mind.
What's the matter with her?
Oh, it's some sort of fever. She's tossing round and she's burning hot. She hasn't known me for the past 2 days. Oh, can you come and see her, miss?
Well, I wanted to see Dr. Jekyll.
He isn't here. He's been gone away. There's no one left but you, miss. Oh, don't say you won't come. You would let her die for want of help.
All right, I'll come. He would have wished me to. Nellie, can I come inside and get some things?
Yes, miss, of course.
Mrs. Forbes, you go back to your child. I'll get something to eat and some medicine and come over as soon as ever I can.
Oh, heaven bless you, miss. You don't know how wonderful it is to see you back again.
My cab's still waiting. Here, take this money and get the man to drive you home. Keep your little girl warm and give her plenty to drink. I'll come and see her in half an hour.
Oh, thank you, miss. Thank you 1,000 times.
Nellie, can you get me something hot to drink? I've come a long way.
Are you feeling better, miss?
Yes, I'm all right. Nellie, when did you see Dr. Jekyll last?
Well, none of us has seen him since the day after you left, miss.
Did he go away?
No. Oh, I didn't like to tell that woman, but he's locked himself up in the building at the back of the house.
Henry, my poor darling. And does he never come out?
No, miss. Not for anything. You're not thinking of going to see him, miss.
Why?
Well, we've had orders to keep away. No one's allowed near the place, except when there's food to be taken across.
No. No, I'll not go there. I'll do what I can to keep on with his work. There are sick people in need of him. I don't think I can help him, but I can help them. And that is my duty.
Are you well enough, miss?
Well, of course I am. There are times when one must forget oneself, Nellie. And this is one of them. Now, will you please get me some food and show me where the doctor keeps his surgical bag and medicines? This is what he would wish me to do. I know. And as long as I have strength, I'll do it.